The Frank Sontag Show is brought to you by Home Comfort USA and the IRS problem solver Phil Liberatore.
Thank you for joining us. Hour number two of this, the Frank Sontag Show on Talk Radio 790 KABC. We have a lot to cover in our second hour. And I want to prioritize as we begin taking some phone calls. We have a couple of open lines, 800-222-5222, 800-222-KABC. If you care to call in, we're going to take calls for a little while on this break. In fact, let's begin with Paul in Northridge. Paul, you're on the Frank Sontag Show on 790 KABC. Hello, Paul.
Good evening, Frank. It's nice to talk to you again. How are you tonight?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm okay. So here's the deal. I'll be 58 in June. A healthy man with a functioning libido, and I have been attracted to women ever since I've been 6 years old. From first grade, I've always had a crush on a girl in one of my classes. And I first saw Playboy when I was probably under 13 years of age. And I don't have the sexual drive I used to have because I'm getting older. And I might, once in a blue moon, want to watch some porn on the computer. I don't like young girls' bodies. I like to watch mature adult women with women's bodies masturbating. And I want to know, why do you think there's something wrong with that?
I don't think there's something wrong with it. I know there's something wrong with it. It's not just my opinion.
Whoa.
Do you know pornography use is correlated with physical changes in your brain? I mean, I go down the line with reasons how porn is extremely damaging. Do you have any idea what it does to your brain?
Tell me.
I just told you. We're visual. The stimulus of pornography messes with your brain's reward system and overwhelms it with unnatural prolonged dopamine levels. It messes with your view of sex. It messes with your perception of women, let alone the level of the objectification of women. Most of those women are sex trafficked. Why would I want to do any of that to myself or participate in such a thing? Your brain physically deteriorates and messes with the chemical balance in your brain by looking at that stuff. It's unnatural. I would even go with the E word, evil. But why would you do that to yourself?
Because I'm attracted to women. To the female form.
You're not alone. I'm 67. You mentioned libido's gone down. Mine's not gone down at all. Age has nothing to do with that. And you know, you've hit something. And I appreciate the call, and I thank you for it. The board just lit up. This idea of low testosterone in our culture is a serious problem. It has to do with, you know, we talk about masculinity and the lack thereof, sex drive. There's a lot of bad things going on in our culture, but primarily near the top is the addiction of pornography. Awful stuff. And by the way, pornography affects more than just your brain. But that's enough for me. Let's see. Let's talk. I know Rick in Lake Balboa has been on hold the longest. We'll talk to Rick. Rick, you're on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Hello, Rick. Thanks for always calling into the program.
Oh, appreciate it, Frank. Thanks for being there.
Yep.
One small little comment before I get onto the thing about the food. And, you know, you have your men's only get-together. Boy, you're 20th century, you know? Men, women, didn't get the memo, right? That doesn't exist anymore. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Doing that tongue-in-cheek, of course.
Yeah, we should should open up gatherings for all 8,422 genders and just have a free-for-all.
There you go. Now you're talking. Now you're going to, and YouTube, whoever shut you down, they will feature you. Not only not shut you down, they will then feature you. Okay.
Yep.
Anyway, the thing about the food, I was tracking with you, and the thing that got me, you know, I was kind of listening, I'm going, yeah, it's kind of making sense. when you said that the two big tobacco companies bought food processing companies, the light went on. And I said, yeah, there you go. They had absolutely no qualms about poisoning people's lungs. So now they're going to poison them with food instead of tobacco. Or if not poison them, at least control them and get them addicted in some way, shape, or form. Makes sense to me.
Well, and you know? Did you know anything about that? I never knew that. Now, I'll repeat the statistic for people that may have missed the story that I read in the previous hour.
Oh, yeah. I may not have known that specifically. I did not know that R.J. Reynolds and the other tobacco company, Philip Morris, I did not know that they had bought major food distribution
yep.
companies and major food processing companies. That
yep.
I did.
Well, thank you for the call. R.J. Reynolds spent nearly $5 billion acquiring Nabisco in 1985. Tobacco company buying Nabisco. Also around that same time, Philip Morris spent $5.75 billion acquiring General Foods. So you tell me. Rick, always good to hear from you. Thank you for the call. Let's talk to Tracy and Aliso Viejo. Tracy, you're on the Frank Sontag Show on 790 KABC.
Hey, Frank. Longtime fan of yours. Ever going back to the 95.5 days when you were on with Mark and Brian. And I have to say that when I heard that you would have a show on KABC, I was curious. Because I haven't heard you for a while, but it's so nice to hear a refreshing, common sense voice on the radio these days with everything going on in our country. And as far as what you're doing, your men's event, I will tell you, I'm going through kind of a rough patch right now, going through a divorce. And without my girlfriends and my girl group, I don't know what I'd do. So, you know what? More power to you that you're doing a men's event, and I hope you get a great turnout, and it's just great to hear your voice, and nothing but the best success for you.
Tracy, thank you for the kindness and the call, and if you are so inclined, I would be blessed if you would consider being on my mailing list. If you just go to franksontag.com, you'll see where it pops up and say, get on the mailing list. We send out notices and updates, and I'd love to keep in touch with you that way. And know you're welcome to call the program anytime. By the way, Tracy reminded me of, and I'll be careful the way I say this. Like she mentioned, going through a tough time, and I'm sorry. You know, one of the things we do through my ministry is guys that have walked away from marriages and families. We kind of challenge them to get back in or step up or try to make wrongs right. Society has accepted fatherlessness as normalized now. We say there's nothing normal about children being raised in a home without a mom and dad. But Tracy talked about having other women there to kind of get her through the tough times. We, as men, we have this thing called the father wound. Most of us, either if dad was there physically, he wasn't really there in other ways. Or a lot of us were raised in fatherless homes. So it's a wound. We call it the father wound. And so we grow into adults, and some of us get married, and we're like, we have a child, and we're like, I don't know how to be a dad. My dad left me. And we bring that issue into our adult life. And it's a serious problem. Spiritually speaking, in this new season, we are implementing an 8-week study course on what we call sonship. And I won't go too far down here. It'll be free. It'll be available through our ministry at franksontag.com, teaching men how much God loves you as his son. Like you may or may not have had a biological father, but you have a father in heaven that loves you. And you want to talk about healing that wound. As you develop a relationship with God, the Father, everything changes. And so also men tend to isolate and not really share stuff, but a lot of healing, I absolutely believe, for men can only be done in a group with other men. Because, you know, a lot of us have our secrets. We have shame, guilt, all that stuff we carry. I'm all about, obviously, men's groups, but accountability partners or whatever. I'll say this and we'll break. My prayer is you will have at least one guy in your life that knows you better than you know yourself. One guy that is a great friend where you know each other, you got each other's backs, all that. Ideally, two or three, but sadly, most men don't even have one. We don't even have one. We have our girlfriends as our wives. Like somehow they've got to be the end all. And I'm not here. I'm not a psychologist. I'm not a doctor. When I say things like that's not healthy, I'm not coming from some position of professionalism or of expertise. But guys that are wounded with men's issues, you can't heal with your wife. You can't heal through your wife. And we try to do it. All right, enough said. 800-222-5222. FrankSontag.com is my website if you want to get on the mailing list or find out more about our event on February the 25th, which is free. We've got a lot of callers on the screen. The next segment, I'm going to try to get to the World Economic Forum again, saying the future for cars, if they do it their way, I use this expression a lot, but you're not going to believe what they think is the way we should look to automobiles. I'll give you a hint. You're not supposed to own a car and be happy about it, let alone control, monitoring, tracking. Oh, it's in the works. More of the Frank Sontag Show next. Talk Radio 790 KABC. We are indeed Talk Radio 790 KABC. Welcome to the Frank Sontag Show. We are here every Friday evening from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Pacific. Grateful to be here tonight live in studio. We were talking about men's issues, and Tracy called and made mention of going through a hard time and how she needs women in her life to kind of navigate through, sadly, a divorce. Now, I want to be very transparent about this next issue. We're going to run an audio clip in a moment, a couple of times, because the first time I heard it, I had to go, wait a minute. Did she just say what I think she said? And I had to listen two or three times and read kind of the graphics. And it's Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer. But let me set it up here. So for most of my adult life, as a non-believing, spiritual, but not religious man, I believed in something that we hear a lot about. I believed in a woman's right to choose. Most of my life, I had a talk program. People would call in and want to talk about abortion. I'm like, nope, I'm a man. Guys would call in. Nope, we're men. We haven't been given the God-given ability to give birth. This is a women's issue. And I just shut it down and bought the lie, hook, line, and sinker. I say lie because at the very least, it involves men. I mean, even though we think these days men can give birth and all the other insanity of culture, it takes a man and a woman, right? So when I began to realize that, again, I'll be really transparent here, my position allowed me to be a womanizer, act in very immoral ways, and do a lot of other things, right? I did not think about anything other than my own selfish physical needs. When it comes to abortion, oh, you know, so therefore it's much more convenient. Yeah, it's a woman's right to choose. Yeah, right. We're talking about life. We're talking about ultimately a baby, right? But we live in times now where politicians fall all over themselves. We have it right here in California. Our governor is all about California should be in a woman's right to choose state where you want to get an abortion, come to our state. We'll fall all over ourselves to take your baby out of your womb. Sorry to be so graphic, but the one thing we need to start doing at the very least, whether we have disagreements over this issue, is calling it what it is. And yes, a lot of Christians have gotten abortions. So don't point it back at me and say, oh, you Christians are such hypocrites. Anybody that makes that decision has to live with that decision. There's a level of sensitivity that needs to be had. There's a level of healing, ideally, that needs to be promoted. My best friend and his wife have an abortion and a miscarriage recovery ministry where they help people kind of walk through the traumas and the tragedies of such things. So don't think I'm sitting here preaching from the high horse. New York passed a law not that long ago where they celebrated in the third trimester where you can take a baby's life after it's born. They celebrated this. Standing ovation. So the audio clip we're going to play, you can't see, was recently Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer. But they actually stood, standing ovation, and we're going to run it a couple of times after she said this.
Protecting these freedoms is the right thing to do. And it's just good economics. States with extreme laws are losing talent and investment because you know what? Bigotry is bad for business.
Oh, yeah. Bigotry. It's bigotry to say you're against abortion. Now, we're going to play it again, and I want you to listen carefully. She says it's good economics. So somehow we're going to lower this to just about money. That obviously if a woman chooses to give birth, she's eventually going to be out of the workforce. And here's a governor of a state that says, well, this is just good economics. I mean, listen closely to Governor Gretchen Whitmer again.
Protecting these freedoms is the right thing to do. And it's just good economics. States with extreme laws are losing talent and investment because you know what? Bigotry is bad for business.
So states that have more stricter abortion laws, you're losing talent. It's hurting you economically. This is outrageous, but this is the culture we live in. And a standing ovation? Let me say one last thing, and then we'll continue. For most of my adult life, and I've said this on the program, I did not believe that evil was real. Hear me. You may be having a visceral, emotional reaction. Maybe you're angry at me. Call the program. We can talk about my position. But hear me out. I spent a good portion of my adult life in the public forum for thousands of people espousing that evil is not a force, it's just the lack of good. I've come since to realize that not only was I a little confused, but of course evil exists. Look around you now. Evil is everywhere. It doesn't even mask itself or hide itself anymore. If you need some examples, if you really go, well, I'm not so sure, you know, I can cite some. But when it comes to the issue of abortion or the way we rationalize or justify our speech, when you minimize God's miracle of birth into something like it's good economics, or we fall all over ourselves hearing politicians talking about a woman's right to reproductive health. What's healthy about having an abortion where a woman has to live with it the rest of their lives, or to just minimize it as some form of birth control? I spent most of my life rationalizing and justifying. And here's one last point. We'll play the clip one more time and take calls, move on, whatever. When I started going to pregnancy clinics, as a man that had a ministry, I wanted to find out for myself. You know what I found out that was shocking to me? It's part of how I slowly turned my position. You know, bring pro-choice to pro-life. I mean, we have these words. This is what I found out. Most men have been silenced, brainwashed into thinking, again, this is a woman's issue. I can't even open my mouth. When you obviously help make things happen. But I found out that 85% of couples that walk into a pregnancy center, whether it's boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, the woman would have the baby if the man would speak up and say, I want to keep the child. Or even, I want to keep the child to birth, and then maybe we'll talk about giving it up for adoption. But not having an abortion. 85% of women would say, I'll keep the baby if the man would open his mouth. This is why I think not only is it a men's issue, but we've got to step up as men. Because it's appalling the level of silence that men have subjugated themselves to the back 40 because they think somehow, in some ways, this is not their issue. No, they know it's their issue. It's two things. For a man to have that rationality, the bottom line is he just wants to be able to sleep around and not be responsible for what he does. And somehow the woman's stuck. But if you really want to find out for yourself, don't believe me. You know, abortion has been a ritual for millennia. If you want to find out what a sacred ritual it is to certain spiritual groups, go online and check out the Church of Satan and their position on abortion. They see it as a sacred ritual. Don't believe me. Find out for yourself. And I would hope, wherever you stand on this issue, that it would maybe horrify you to the point that if you're pro-choice, you're in with the Church of Satan. They think this is sacred to take the life of a baby. Gretchen Whitmer, it's just good economics. God help us. All right, 800-222-KABC, 800-222-5222. More phone calls, and next segment, I am going to get in a little bit of what, if you like automobiles, if you like cars, and women like cars too. One of my best friends, she's a drag racer. She goes out and races drags. She loves it. So it's not just a men's issue, but if you love your car, wait to hear if the World Economic Forum has it their way. Wait to hear what they want to do. More of the Frank Sontag Show next. Talk Radio 790 KABC. Talk Radio 790 KABC. Welcome to the Frank Sontag Show. Thank you for joining us. 800-222-KABC are the phone numbers into the station and our email address. And we got to get a KABC email, which is easier to give out. I've had a couple people say, Frank at KMG Ministries is not easy to remember. Oh, look, I hear you. But that's the private email address we have right now. I just got a couple emails. Let me see here. Michael, thank you. James, thank you. Michelle, thank you. And Kim, thank you for your nice words. Frank at KMGMinistries.com. Do you love cars? The era of cars as the ultimate tool for personal freedom and mobility will, if the future the World Economic Forum envisions comes to pass, soon that will end. Cars will be something you ask to borrow, and the cloud will be taking the wheel. Speaking in Davos, Qualcomm CEO Cristiano Amon said, quote, the car is becoming a connected computer on wheels, like cell phones. Everything around us is becoming connected intelligence. The automotive industry is becoming part of the industrial to digital transformation, Amon said. The technology transformation in the industry is electrification and is digital, end quote. By the way, I say no way. I'll read on. Increasingly, car makers are partnering with tech companies like Qualcomm and IBM. Tech visionaries say that computerized cars will be integrated into the cloud, where they can be monitored and controlled by a centralized network. That should make you cringe. If that doesn't make you cringe, listen to this part. While much of this technology already exists via cell phones, some cars already track your, well, your gaze to alert you when your eyes stray from the road. You know, you get that little thing, hey, you need some coffee, you need to pull over. The next step is linking the car systems together, allowing for continuous third-party tracking. Oh, yeah, I want a third-party tracking my ability to drive my car. There's more. The developments are moving in lockstep with efforts to compel consumers to buy electric vehicles. By the way, I have another story that I won't get into. It says EV mania may be over. Electric car sales are going way down. In fact, Elon Musk and Tesla just lowered their cost extensively to buy a Tesla because maybe people are getting hip to this. But here's where we don't hear much about this one when it comes to electric vehicles. There is a reality that undermine the green EV narrative. Well, what is it? Minerals required to make batteries are mined under highly pollutive and environmentally devastating conditions, then refined and manufactured primarily in that God-loving, freedom-embracing country of China. In addition to the environmental impact of producing EVs, some industry experts also question whether enough minerals can be mined and processed to meet the expected demand. They don't even know if we have enough. It's ironic when you hear climate change, global warming, bioelectric, and yet it's so devastating to the environment to mine this stuff. Let me read a little more. The WEF, one of the most narcissistic you talk about overinflated self-importance. It's these people at the World Economic Forum. They've suggested a simple solution. If you're sensitive to how, like, electric vehicles are mined or pollution, don't buy a car. They have a report entitled, quote, Three Circular Economy Approaches to Reducing Demand for Critical Metals. Get ready. The WEF report states that the average car is driven only about 4% of a given day. And therefore, consumers should not buy cars, but rather borrow them. Quote, car sharing platforms such as GetAround and BlueSG have already seized the opportunity to offer vehicles where you pay per hour used to enable a broader transition from ownership to usership. The way we design things and systems need to change too. End quote. Can you see the writing between the lines here? You want to talk about just taking away personal freedom. Let me read a little more from this nice report. Quote, a design process that focuses on fulfilling the underlying need instead of designing for product purchasing is fundamental to this transition. This is a mindset needed to redesign cities to reduce private vehicles, end quote. They're just blatant about it. The WEF prides itself on being the biggest global advocate for public and private cooperation. Governments right here in the United States and Europe are doing their part to advance the external control of cars. Car makers will be forced by President Joe Biden's 2021 Infrastructure Act to install some new features on cars in the not-too-distant future. You want to hear about some of the goodies they're going to make on cars? Limiters of speed. Now, I'm not here to argue that you should be able to go 230 miles an hour in your car, but a limiter on your car, voice trackers, and kill switches. Like, they want to have the ability to just shut your car off for what they say. Well, you know, reduce injuries and all sorts of other things. I've got a question. How about if you have new surveillance technology that's going to monitor your behavior and make decisions for you when you're driving? I still believe 2 + 2 = 4. Should we be concerned that building in controls that are not in the hands of you, the driver? Here's one. You may be vulnerable to computer hacking, number one. And I love the way Kevin Stockland, who has the byline on this article, signs off. Like your smartphone today, the car of the future is going to know quite a lot about you. As the WEF famously states, quote, you will owe nothing and be happy, unquote. Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen for what it's worth. I think we're going to say no way. I think we're just starting to see post-COVID. People have had enough. And when they go after your freedoms that so many of us just gave up out of fear. Look, I'll give people a hall pass. Early on in 2020, when we first started hearing about COVID, people were freaked out. What is this? I get it. We didn't know what it was. So I think there was a certain level of fear that was normal, natural. We kind of acquiesced on the side of safety. But 2 years into that, when they started shutting down doctors, censoring things, pressuring people, where it's mandatory to take an experimental drug in your arm, mandatory. If you want to do that, fine. But forcing people, and don't even get me into forcing kids. And I'll say this, I've always tried to strive to be a professional in this medium of talk radio where I'm behind a microphone. In fact, a woman emailed me upset a couple of weeks ago. Why didn't I talk about the Buffalo Bills, a defensive back that had a cardiac arrest and try to tie it into the COVID shot? Why didn't you? And look, I'm not into speculating. I actually find that offensive, literally, that you would have that kind of conversation. But I'm just going to say this, because I'm all about facts and information. So are we here at 790 KBC, right? Fast-paced, fact-based. Is there any part of you that's going, why is it every day I'm seeing all these young people dropping dead from heart attacks? Again, I'm not here to say, you know, start screaming. But we got to be careful not to get used to things so easily and not to believe everything that is shared, especially from the propaganda machine of the mainstream media, as if somehow it's truth. Right? I mean, I was just talking to my dear friend Wayman in the other room. You know this. We live in a day and age, what, politically or people in positions of authority and power, where you know they say something, you're like, that's not true. That's a blatant lie. We live in a time where people lie without any conscience, any, it's just, and it's reported as truth. Or as Wayman said, ironically enough, we hear things like, well, it was taken out of context, or we really didn't mean that. You know, the Bible talks about in Isaiah, there will be a time when truth will be reported as a lie and lie will be truth. We're kind of there where people are screaming, no, that's a lie. But so much of what's being pushed, my friends, my brothers, my sisters, question things. Don't go along with it just because most people may think it's true. Find out for yourself. Use your God-given intelligence. Make decisions. When I became a follower of Christ, the Bible talks about count the cost. We are called to set apart, stand apart, be different. And I'm not going to get into my contempt for, as one of my good friends calls it, Candyland Christians that just kind of go along the way of culture and they look the same. But man, if we can't stand for the truth, we're in deeper than we may want to even imagine. All right, 800-222-5222. I think we've got a full board. I'll take some calls on the other side, 800-222-KABC. Our final segment is next. You are listening to Talk Radio 790 KABC. Oh, I get it. A little Gary Newman in Cars. Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. Talk Radio 790 KABC. By the way, we do have one line open. We have eight lines into the station. Seven are filled. 800-222-5222. We'll take some calls in a moment. Speaking about truth, a California judge earlier this week halted the state's so-called COVID-19 misinformation and disinformation law, which was challenged by doctors in two lawsuits, claiming it violated their constitutional rights. In Hogue versus Newsom, five doctors alleged that the state law, Assembly Bill 2098, is unconstitutional under the First and 14th Amendments of the U.S. Constitution. Separate related lawsuit also made similar allegations. They argued that the law prevents them from providing information to their patients that may contradict what the law permits or prohibits. They also alleged the law was used to intimidate and punish physicians who disagreed with prevailing views on COVID-19. Now, if you don't know about this law, Governor Gavin Newsom signed the bill into law in September 22, took effect on January 1 of this year, earlier this month. The law defines misinformation. By the way, if you can control language, yeah. The law defines misinformation as, quote, false information that is contradicted by contemporary scientific consensus and prohibits physicians from disseminating misinformation or disinformation related to COVID-19, including false or misleading information regarding the nature and risks of the virus, its prevention and treatment, and the development, safety, and effectiveness of COVID-19 vaccines, end quote. Sounds like, okay, well, that kind of makes sense. Listen a little closer. Doctors who deviate from the established U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention's guidance by having the audacity to just attempt to assess and advise their patients as individuals may run afoul of the new law. The state medical board is required by law to act against any licensed doctor charged with unprofessional conduct. The legal organization that represents the doctors that filed the suit, and this says it all, said their clients were put in a difficult position, fearing repercussions for acting in the best interests of their patients by giving them honest information, depriving them of the right to receive advice and hear treatment options without fear of professional discipline. Right? Whatever happened to doctors just saying, hey, this is what I can suggest, right? So it'll go through the courts. I'm not optimistic, but I praise God for this one judge who says, no, AB 2098, we're going to put that on hold right now. This is troubling stuff. Speaking of government power and abuse, I just have to make sure and get this on the public record. I didn't do it last week. A little more than a week ago, Joe Biden said that AR-15 rifles wouldn't help Americans in an armed conflict with the federal government. Why? He said they would need something like F-15s to fight the government. Gee, many Christmas. And a story we'll get to next week, and then we'll close with a few calls. Steve Jobs' widow, Loreen Powell, owns a $66 million Gulfstream jet, which burns, 500 gallons of jet fuel per hour. She sails on a $120 million yacht. She's one of the two primary funders, activists, to make sure you can't own a gas stove. The billionaires are controlling it. The hypocrisy of who's funding the anti-hydrocarbon campaigns, including bans on gas stoves. Natural gas bans are more about class than climate change. It's about the rich and the elites trying to control the peons. That's what it comes down to. Don't be a fool. Don't go for it. Bill is in Los Angeles. Bill, you're on the Frank Sontag Show down on Line 7 on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Hello, Bill.
Hi, Frank. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm okay. Thank you. It's really a pleasure to hear somebody who's thinking is on the radio. That's very nice. I wanted to mention something that you had talked about taking away our cars and different things that we may own and be happy about it. Well, just so happens to be that the fourth tenet of the Communist Manifesto is
there you go.
Confiscation of property of all immigrants, people who want to leave, and rebels. That's people like us who don't want too much government. So the first, the third, and fourth tenets of the Communist Manifesto have to do with taking away your property,
that's right.
And you will like it.
Yeah, this
and,
is... go ahead. Sorry.
It's very interesting. This has been, they've been in this country for quite a while doing their damage. In 1916, our president... I just took a mental dive here. She... 1916. What was his name?
I'll look it up. I don't know. Oh, 1916. That was
the president with a PhD, which means in his case piled higher and deeper.
Oh boy.
Signed the document that gave us the second tenet of the Communist Manifesto, which is the heavy progressive income tax, the IRS. And then Franklin Roosevelt did some other damage too, but he signed that and the centralization of credit,
yep.
And the printing of paper money, which is by itself useless.
Well, let me jump in. Bill, thank you. You're talking about Woodrow Wilson. And yeah, this is straight out of the left's arsenal of communism and socialism. That's where we're at. And the masses, for whatever reasons, you know, the youth, because they've been brainwashed at, and this is kind of oxymoronic, institutions for higher learning. They think somehow socialism is much better than capitalism, not having any idea of what they're thinking or saying. And yeah, we're at a crossroads here, no doubt. Bill, thank you. Gosh, we've got so many calls, and I literally have maybe 2 minutes. Let's talk to John in Encino. John, you've got a couple of minutes. They're all yours. You're on 790 KABC. Hi, John.
Yeah, how you doing? I usually listen to talk radio in the morning. I'm driving to pick up my kids, came across you, and I'm so happy at your evolution. I remember you from KLOS. I remember listening to you in college when you had the Sunday midnight show. I was very much a lefty as well. I matured, and I'm so happy to hear you and... you know, your newfound religion and everything about you. I'm really impressed, and I want to thank you. Now I know what radio to listen to Friday nights.
Well, John, thank you. And not to, you know, be too much of a guy patting myself on the back, you may want to let management know you appreciate this program. That's all I'll say. You can find out for yourself who I'm talking about or just send them a general email. John, thank you for the call. By the way, John made reference to morning show. If you've not heard our morning show here on KBC, Armstrong and Getty, whenever I'm up, I listen to them. They are a phenomenal morning show. And I'll just say that. They're informative. They're funny. And they are a breath of fresh air. Okay. I announced last week this may be my last program. We are here for at least another month till the end of February. If you want to get on our mailing list, please go to franksontag.com. If you missed any portion of this broadcast, you can go to the same site, and we virtually post the podcast in its entirety right after the program. And if we can do anything for you, serve you in any way, send us an email, get on our mailing list. And February the 25th, we are hosting a men's event in Los Angeles, which is free from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. If you go to franksontag.com, you'll see the information. One of the many speakers we have, my dear friend Daryl Strawberry, will be there. He's flying in for the event. Again, tickets are free. You need to register. It is a men's only event. Go to franksontag.com. Have a blessed evening. Lord willing, we'll be back here next Friday evening for more of this, which we call the Frank Sontag Show. You're listening to Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Ross Matthews talks to celebrities, friends, and people with interesting stories to tell. Who's saying hello, Ross, this week?
Richard Fierro, I am so beyond thrilled to chat with you. It's not every day we have an actual life-saving hero. I want to heap praise on you, and I want you to accept the hero status.
It's been hard, but I'll try.
You deserve a hero status. I want to hear about that day.
Hello, Ross. Available on YouTube or wherever you listen.